A friend of mine who has access to court judgments keeps me very well informed and sends me the judgments. And last night I looked at my email inbox and there was an email from Tony containing a judgment by Judge Jody Colopin on the issue of prisoner conjugal visits. And a Boeremach member, Dr. Wilhelm Pretorius, petitioned the court to be allowed monthly three-hour conjugal visits with his wife. And he also wanted access to a cell phone. And when I read what the application was, I thought, oh, please, 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 no, please, no, please, no, please don't. No, this is ridiculous. I mean, I know that I'm a diehard, you know, bleeding liberal, bleeding heart liberal. I am. But the notion of prisoners being allowed conjugal visits, I don't know, just somehow. Anyway, I read the judgment and Judge Colopin said, no, you are denied your application. You're not going to get a cell phone and you're not going to get the right to a conjugal visit. The law doesn't expressly recognize it, nor can the Constitution be interpreted to provide support for the existence of this right. That right is inconsistent with the notion of incarceration. To discuss the issue, though, I'm joined by Professor Lucas Monting, who's project coordinator at the Africa Criminal Justice Reform at the University of the Western Cape. Lucas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
Judge Colopin did say in his judgment that, you know, if society wants to have a debate about this, that's fine. And then if that debate leads to a change in the legislation, that's all fine. But with the legislation as it is at the moment, I simply have no option but to deny your right. Are there places in the world where prisoners are allowed conjugal visit?
Yes, indeed. I was looking up, and generally in Europe it is accepted, although not always executed, but the most liberal regime seems to be in Eastern European countries, where conjugal visits for up to 72 hours are permitted, and then it would take place in, I would assume, a little cottage or cabin on the prison estate, and the whole family can come and visit. So, yes, there are different ways of doing it, and I'm reminded of what of the prison reformers said, is that you can't train a person for freedom in captivity, and I think we should take some heart from that as well. So, yes, there are different ways of approaching this.
In those jurisdictions where it is it allowed across the board in terms of, you know, whether it's what we would consider a less serious crime all the way up to the most serious of crimes? Or is there, I'm afraid, you've beyond the limit of the seriousness of the crime, therefore you are denied?
I didn't look specifically, but my guess is that it would rather be linked to the security classification of the individual concerned. In other words, that conjugal visits will be used as an incentive in the same way that we use parole. We say, well, if you behave yourself, we can release you earlier. I would imagine those jurisdictions would apply a similar principle.
My instinctive reaction was no. Conjugal visits for prisoners, no. But it almost sounds as if you would go yes or maybe. Your instinctive response.
I would say yes, there is definitely scope to consider it. And if one can apply it in a manner that actually enhances prison management and makes the prison a better and a safer place, then we need to employ all resources at our disposal. And if this is something that can really incentivize good behavior, well, by all means, in the same way that we already have contact visits that can be taken away if you transgress internal discipline. So, yes, there's definitely scope for a more creative approach.
There's scope in theory, scope in practice, given what we know about the practicalities of our correctional system?
I think there is. There's firstly a lot of scope for improvement in our correctional system, there are numerous challenges that the department has failed to address on a consistent basis. So, but nonetheless, I think there are ways and means to do this in a manner that does not pose security at a risk and that does not undermine the overall intentions and obligations of the department. It just takes some individual will or willingness to proceed in a more progressive approach.
And in terms of categories of prisoners, would you, I mean, if you were to get involved in a serious discussion about this, a discussion prompted by a proposal from the Department of Justice and Correctional Services that they're considering this and they're asking experts like yourself to weigh in, would you go for the security categorization of the prisoner? Would you go for the kind of crime committed as being qualifying or excluding factors? How would you think it should be handled in practice?
I think one needs to first and foremost look at the person's behavior in prison. How has this person behaved for the past year or 3 years? Is there reason to trust them, or is this will this create new risks for the department and threaten security or undermine operations in any way? So I think it's very much an individualized approach so that one can indeed say, yes, we're doing this as part of a plan with a person.
Yeah, and I must say that my reaction surprised me. As I started reading Judge Colopin's judgment, I was hoping that he wouldn't say yes, because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool, bleeding-heart liberal. I mean, it's not something I'm ashamed of, but it's something that I am. And I was surprised by my reaction, my no, don't find in his favor. And it had nothing to do with the fact that he was a member of the Burmach. I just thought, in our country, with crime as rampant as it is, for criminals to get rights which are denied families whose husbands, wives, children are taken from them and whose life savings are stolen and they're pushed into penury by a great fraudster. And I was surprised at how violently I opposed the idea. And Jody Colopin, although not violently opposing the idea, did say that the right to a conjugal visit is inconsistent with the notion of incarceration.
Yes, I think he was treading a fine line there. But I want to take one step back, because our law or jurisprudence, the case law, is in fact very progressive in the sense, firstly, that it dates back to a 1912 decision where the court found, the appellate division as it was known then, that prisoners retain all their rights except for those rights that need to be limited to implement the order of the court. And so it was that residuum principle that Judge Colopin went back to and said, well, do we need this in order to implement the sentence of the court, or would that be compromised if we go in this direction? So I think on the one hand, his interpretation was completely correct, and on the other hand, one has to recognize that there are more questions to be asked here about this particular issue.
But you'd have no moral, ethical qualms at all about a prisoner who had behaved well and who was considered by the prison authorities to be trustworthy to have a three-hour or a weekend visit with his wife or his girlfriend or with her husband or partner?
I think if it is done according to very clear rules, because in the end this is conjugal, refers to marriage, so yes, there is that, and the family is recognized in our constitution, and family visits and visits by the spouse is recognized in the constitution. But the judge said, well, that does not necessarily mean sexual relations. As long as you've got family contact, you meet that constitutional requirement. And so he did take a conservative approach. He didn't push the boundaries there, and I think that then opens up interesting issues. But I think if it's well managed, if it is carefully monitored, it's definitely something that can be explored.
Professor Lucas Munting, thank you very much indeed. Project Coordinator at the Africa Criminal Justice Reform Initiative, which is based at the University of the Western Cape.